This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tian, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Well, good Monday afternoon to you. Beautiful, beautiful spring day. Well, spring tomorrow, I guess, will be the first day of the new season. But it's joining us a little bit early over the weekend. Really nice weather. That'll make us all feel good and eager to express ourselves here on KGMI Connects, huh? 360-676-5464 is the phone number. You can text us at that number as well. And just let us know what's on your mind. 360-676-5464. I saw this little tidbit on a Bloomberg story about China EV makers. Maybe this is this the answer to high housing prices, but apparently in China, and these vehicles are, as I understand from this article, at this point, only available there in China, but they're making EVs, like SUVs, all electric SUVs that have sleeping kits built in. With just one click and the car in-car display in Xpeng's, I don't know how you'd say that, Xpeng's G9, it turns into a bed that comfortably sleeps two people. The sleeping kit is able to make both front and back seats lay completely flat. Then the double-size air mattress unfolds and is automatically inflated. There we go. I guess for the camping culture, but also maybe that's where we're destined to live in the future. I don't know, but great to have you with us and hope you'll express yourself. Tell us what's on your mind here on this Monday afternoon. And let's get started with Mark. Up in Delta, or up and over in Delta, I guess. Up in Delta, right, Mark?
Yeah, across the line.
Yeah,
hi,
Joe. Hi, good to hear from you. What's on your mind today?
I'll wait into politics, so I'll keep it light.
Okay.
Is it only since Donald Trump has become president, he's referred to as former president? I don't ever recall them saying, you know, former president Gerald Ford or Bill Clinton. It's just an odd thing. I just wanted to throw that out there. Why is that? Like, you're a president. People generally know, okay, you're not current president, but you're referred to as the president.
Yeah.
It's just a strange thing. I don't know if anybody else has really noticed that.
Well, people do when they're referring to him just, I guess, I get what you're saying, although you don't want to, you know, confuse the fact that there's one person who's president and there's another one who is very visible in the media who is a former president who isn't the current sitting president. But yeah, generally people carry that title. So if someone is a senator and they retire from the Senate, they're forever known as, you know, for like Senator Barry Goldwater. You know, we always knew him as Senator Barry Goldwater or Senator John McCain or what have you.
We just had a former prime minister, Brian Mulroney, die. He's never been referred to as former prime minister, Brian Mulroney. I mean, it's just something I've known about this for a long time. I just thought, why is that? Does it just begin?
All right. Maybe some people will have some thoughts on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all right, Mark.
See, Joe, thanks.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling us from up there on the other side of the border. Appreciate it. Let's go to Randy in Bellingham. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Joe. Talk about Ukraine for a little bit. Everybody seems to be tired of funding Ukraine now. Everybody's tired of the war, you know, especially the Republicans. And, I think the reason for this is that people generally are just tired of endless wars where we don't win. And I think people look at this and they see it progressing into another one of those situations. I mean, obviously, we should have given them everything they needed when it started 2 years ago. You know, they needed air support, this and that and the other. And, you know, obviously, the you know, limiting them to where they couldn't shoot their missiles into Russia was a bad mistake. All of it, you know, we should have gone into it, given them everything they needed to win.
By everything, and, you mean you think that our Air Force should have been involved, or our forces should have been?
At that point, they wanted to, they were willing to fight the fight themselves.
Which they've done.
Yeah, which they've done, and it was a good deal for us because we didn't have to shed our own blood. And now it's gone on for so long that, you know, it seems, I said a couple of years ago, there's, you know, without actually at this point, it's probably pretty unlikely that they can win against the might of the Russian army. And, you know, I think that the, you know, all we could do is say, if you know, either we have to go in and support them 100%, you know, give them, you know, see how they do with shooting them. You know, this is ridiculous that they say, well, Russia can invade Ukraine, but the Ukrainians aren't allowed to invade Russia. That doesn't make any sense, you know, because this is a war. And, you know, and I think
Ukraine can do whatever it wants, but I think they put the limits on what our weapons could be used for.
Right, uh-huh. Right. And the way I look at it, they shouldn't have done that if you want Ukraine to win, you know. And you know, the only, you know, if they were going to negotiate for peace, the only thing I think would work is, you know, if I was the head of Ukraine is I would, you know, you could leave the borders where they are, these wartime borders, and but the condition is that Ukraine would automatically right away become part of NATO and the European Union, and that would give them a guarantee of safety. Mm-hmm. The second guarantee, because we gave them a guarantee before when we and Russia talked them into giving up their nuclear weapons. And we told them, we gave them a guarantee of sovereignty and safety. And then now we've reneged on that, and especially Russia. If they had kept their nuclear weapons, they wouldn't be in this situation. You know, so it's a lot of it is our fault, you know. And
I get what you're saying, but we're not the ones who went back on that agreement. Russia is the aggressor here. And right. I understand what you're saying, and it's been over 2 years. Think about it, though. I mean, we're a country that was at war in Afghanistan for over 20 years, and there's still complaints that we left. But I think if you look at what's happening in Ukraine, it does seem next to impossible that Ukraine could be victorious over Russia. But I think that the hope, more than anything, is it can just hold them off long enough to make it just too painful for Russia and too costly for Putin to continue, and to where he would be forced to just, okay, settle with what he's got. Obviously, Ukraine isn't at this point anyway willing to give up any territory to an aggressor. It's not an easy situation, granted, but do we just withdraw and say, oh, this has gone on too long, just give it up, Ukraine, and become part of the Soviet, part of Russia again, and be another satellite like they were under the Soviets, and have their world controlled by a guy who pretty much the rest of the world considers to be, you know, kind of an animal.
I think it's gone far enough to where they need more than just, you know, arms, and, you know, NATO needs to get involved. I mean, the reason we haven't got involved is because we're afraid of the A-bomb, and you know, that's been used for the past, what, 70 years or something. We've depended on the threat of the nuclear war to ensure peace, mutual destruction, you know. But what have all these wars been, all these no-win wars we've had over the past since World War II, you know, there's a bunch of them, 20-year-long wars, so on and so forth. And they've all gone on like that because we've been afraid. They've all been conventional wars. What I'm saying is all these wars are not nuclear wars. They're conventional wars. And to me, that's worse, you know, and it's affected our recruiting for our own military. We're way short on personnel for our military. And I can see why people don't want to sign up. Who wants to sign up to go fight in a war where the idea is not to win the war, but to just kind of maintain something for decades. And, you know, I have all these guys and be killed for, you know, for a maintenance type thing. It was like, that's the way it was in Vietnam. You know, the idea was not to win the war. Well, it was just to keep the battle lines where they were. Same thing with Korea.
But we don't have anybody, obviously, over there fighting, and I know you understand that. We and what we send them, obviously, we're not just sending them, you know, plane loads full of money. We're sending them weapons that have been made here, that and been. So, I mean, it's kind of a government work project if the government is paying weapons makers to make weapons that we are shipping over there. We're making them here. I understand what you're saying, but do we just give up on Ukraine and say, tough luck, too bad that you were invaded by this dictator and let him conquer
them?
No,
that's not what I'm saying. That's not my idea. I would bring in NATO and go 100% total war against Russia.
Well, do we want a world war? That's what you're talking about. I mean, and that's what they're trying to avoid.
Not necessarily, because you're not going to invade Russia. You're just going to push them out of the territory they invaded illegally.
I know we did Saddam, but with Kuwait, but I don't think it would be quite as easy. And once again, if we attacked Russia, if the United States was part of an attacking force on Russia, Putin has made it pretty clear that he would take that as an attack on the sovereignty and on as an existential attack on Russia. And who knows? I don't know. I disagree with your contention that conventional war is worse than nuclear war. I think that'd be pretty horrible.
Been the threat of the bully, you know, and sometimes you just have to stand up to the bully and don't give him your change.
Yeah,
you know, I guess that's the way I feel about it. You know, we've been on the defensive since World War II because of this policy fear of nuclear war. And at some point, we're going to have to realize that, you know, it's not working. It's not working.
Standing up to the bully when you're at the cost of a black eye as opposed to millions of lives is kind of different. But anyway, it's a good discussion to continue, Randy. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
We kind of went long, but I've got Jim and Michelle and Tim on the line, and we want to hear from you too. 360-676-5464 as we get rolling here on this Monday afternoon. It's KGMI Connects.
Have you been laid off? How about never had a job? Do you now work at a bunch of part-time jobs but can't make ends meet? We may be able to help. Northwest Workforce Council has programs to help people who want to train for an in-demand, full-time career that pays a good wage. If this sounds good to you and you want to work full-time, we may be able to help. To learn more, go to nwc-connect.org and click on Job Seeker Services. Fill out the application and we will get in touch with you to see if you are eligible. Or visit our office at 101 Prospect Street in Bellingham. Northwest Workforce Council is a proud partner of WorkSource and is an equal opportunity program. Auxiliary aids and services are available upon request for individuals with disabilities. Washington Relay Service 711. For more information about program funding, visit nwboard.org/about/federal-resources.
I look at the big picture. As a business owner, sometimes we get wrapped up on, I'm not going to lose money helping that customer. I'm not going to sit here and say that we satisfy everybody out in the community, but I can go to sleep happy every night knowing that we try really hard to satisfy as many people as we can. Knowing that the community has invested in us, when it comes time to invest in a customer, I have no problem. I have no problem saying, let's make it happen. I've had repairs that, you know, big high tickets, and I see them the same as if it was $100, because at the end of the day, they trusted us. They gave us an opportunity, and we just can't look at it like, we're going to lose money in this particular customer. Well, no. Let's take care of them. Let's make sure they're happy.
Find new roads at BellinghamChevy.com.
Are you eligible for Medicare soon and feeling overwhelmed by all of the insurance plan information coming your way? Call Guided Solutions, formerly Vibrant USA, at 866-733-5000. 5111. Our goal is to make your move to Medicare as seamless as possible. We specialize in the health insurance plans to go with Medicare and can review with you how Medicare works, health plan options available, and how to get enrolled. There is never a fee for our service, and with offices in Linden, Bellingham, Freeland, and Everett, help is just a phone call away.
Taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Monday afternoon. And let's go to Michelle in Bellingham. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joe. I just want to say one quick thing before I talk about Caitlyn Jenner today. Atomic war is absolutely, totally, and completely impractical. In almost, in virtually every conceivable instance, it would set up a world-destroying event.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
It would never be worth it. I'm sorry to disagree with your previous caller. I believe in beating the heck out of bullies, but when you're talking about atomic weapons, they cannot be used. I think we saw that, and the only reason we used them in 1945 was because the Japanese military would never have surrendered for several years. They had an incredibly great military, and my dad was right there to fight them. And I got, you know, we just had no choice if we wanted to end that war quickly. Anyway, what I wanted to say was I'm standing behind what I heard Caitlyn Jenner say just a little while ago on KGMI's news about defending the NCAA, the 16 female athletes who competed, either are competing or did compete in NCAA sports, and are finally suing the NCAA for allowing biological men to compete in college sports. Now, I want to provide just a little background. As a gay woman, I'm very sympathetic to LGBTQ people in many ways, and I do believe that they deserve all the love and support that we can provide. But biological boys are vastly stronger than biological girls. When you're talking, I've been a coach, and when you're talking about, you know, like softball or any other sport that girls play, boys are 10, 20, 30 times stronger. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a weaker boy than the strongest girl, but I'm talking about athletic kids of both genders. Now, here's the deal. I saw recently, it was a few weeks ago, a clips of a girls' basketball game in Massachusetts where a biological boy so severely injured three players on the opposing girls' team in a girls' game that the coach forfeited the game for fear of having his entire team wiped out in the second half. And so that game was a forfeit, and the coach said he's looking forward to the state playoffs or whatever he was getting into, and he just couldn't afford to keep playing. And the other thing I saw was a clip where a biological boy spiked a volleyball at a girl in such an incredible power that it damaged the girl's head severely, and she had to go for, I'm not sure how severely, but it was a hospital.
Well, these are amazing, amazingly powerful people who, I don't know.
Yes, well,
I hear what you're saying, and I understand. When you coached, did you coach any transgender athletes who had gone through hormonal treatment?
This was years and years ago.
Well,
but here's the deal. Caitlyn Jenner, no, but let me talk. Joe, nobody knows more about the difference between men and women's athletics than Caitlyn Jenner, because Jenner was a male, Bruce Jenner, in 48 years ago in the 1976 Montreal Olympics when then he won the gold medal in the decathlon 10 event,
sure.
Supposedly goes to the greatest athlete in the world. That was Jim Thorpe's event way back in 1912. And the point I'm making is that Caitlyn, now fully Caitlyn, has been years and years since she underwent hormones and gender surgery and all the stuff they go through. Okay, this she knows what she's talking about when she speaks about the vast difference. And she definitely knows that. And Riley Gaines, the leader, who was a great swim star, Riley at Kentucky, Riley Gaines, the leader of female opposition, If there is no biological boys should never in high school or college be allowed to play against biological girls in any sport where either it's a contact sport where injuries can result, or it's a sport involving muscles such as track and swimming, in which there has never. And I got your message here, Michelle. Right,
and I think the decision now the decision made was made by someone who is in charge of this. In this case, the New York Athletics or New York County's Athletics.
Correct.
Those are the people should be making the decisions, not a bunch of politicians in state houses or what have you. That's in my opinion.
Yeah, but they're woke. They're woke and they're crazy. They're insane. They don't understand the difference between boys and girls, men and women. And believe me, anybody who's coached knows the difference.
All right. Okay, Michelle.
I guarantee you there's a huge difference.
Okay, I got your message. I think we all got it. And I'm not saying that that you're absolutely wrong. I'm just saying that there is debate as and I think that, once again, it's up to the athletic the conferences or what have you, or the athletic associations, I should say, to decide who should compete at different levels. And if these athletes want to petition, have them petition and state their case. And let's go from there. Instead of the horrible, I don't know, the horrible the injuries and the it's been politicized to death, this whole issue, and I think that's unfortunate because we're talking about real people and taking away opportunities that that they may have to young people, especially to flourish. And if they don't belong in a league, I think that's up to the league to decide and not a bunch of politicians. But those are my thoughts. Let's go to Jim wants to talk about TikTok. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind today? TikTok. I already said it.
TikTok a little bit. Gore Vidal. I've been bringing him up a lot lately. This has to do with Jake Auchincloss, who probably is a relative of the Hugh Auchincloss clan that lived on Massachusetts Avenue in Washington, D.C. So this is Jake Auchincloss, a Democratic congressman from Massachusetts, and he was talking about banning TikTok. I think he gave some different reasons for it. I think he wants to do it. And then there's Brian Becker, who hosts the socialist program, and he says about this about TikTok. He says the ban is real, and it's our ruling class trying to limit the knowledge. You know, because we are in info wars. You're probably aware of that phrase. That's whoever that crazy guy is. I forget his name. But anyway, they don't want you to know what's going on in places like Gaza, where they're, you know, killing journalists, you know, and the Israeli IDF, supposedly IDF defense forces. And so one main aspect of this is Gaza. And Jake Auchincloss didn't mention it, but I think he's probably trying to limit the ability for people to understand what's really going on by TikTok, who I don't have a perfect answer for whether it should be banned or not. But I would tend to agree, just from what I've been thinking and reading and hearing, that it should be, you know, it should be taken very seriously as a First Amendment impediment for the ruling class. So Gore Vidal was on his mother's side, was the Auchincloss, Hugh Auchincloss. And this is an essay here in this book. He has Reflections on Glory Reflected is the title of it. You can get the book online. He says, early in life at Yale, in fact, Hugh Auchincloss's originality was revealed. He was unable to do work of any kind. Since the American ruling class then and now likes to give the impression that it is always hard at work, or at least very busy. And so this is Hugh. He's talking about Hugh Auchincloss again. He says, he believed in the virtue of the rich and the vice of the poor, and that was as far as introspection ever took him. So there's more to go than that. But, you know, the other day I was on, and I brought up from Michael Parenti, not Gore Vidal, that we never turn our gaze up to the tiny group of people in Group A who usually do not work at all because they have massive wealth. And if they do work, it's because they want to work. And so there's always pressure on people like me to work and you know, keep going and going and going. And Gorbatov is a great man. And so he said he never tried to make it. I don't know if I mentioned that on Hard Talk BBC. He was truly, even though he was worth $30 million, he lived the life of and always trying to help in his art forms, the average man, I would say. And so that's my story, and I thank you for letting me on.
All right, Jim, thanks for your call. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more in just a moment here on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464. Ring us up.
Lindale Glass is your premier window and door company in Waukamaskagit County. With over 35 years of professional installation experience, you can rely on the dedicated employees at Lindale Glass to provide an exceptional install. Lindale Glass features Milgard windows and doors, leading the industry with innovative, high-quality products. You can be assured of a product that is customized for your home. No shortcuts, no gimmicks, just excellent service and exceptional quality from Milgard. Visit a Lindale showroom to learn more or online at lindaleglass.com.
Staying connected with your community each Saturday at noon with KGMI's Community Connection as local business leaders share their expert advice. Sponsored by
Lighthouse Mission Ministries, Dewey Griffin Subaru, Feller Heating and Air Conditioning, Contact Counseling, and Guided Solutions.
Community Connection, Saturdays at noon on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
Ulta Beauty's semi-annual beauty event is happening now. Unleash your love for beauty with 50% off daily beauty steals on hair, skin, makeup, and fragrance. Shop your favorite brands like Tarte and Fenty Beauty by Rihanna. Plus, grab perfect hair care pairs from brands like Redken and Olaplex. And check out new arrivals from brands like Charlotte Tilbury and Dyson. Shop the Ulta Beauty semi-annual beauty event online, in-store, or try pickup today. Now through March 28th. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful. Conditions apply.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Walk right through the door, it's all here to explore. With guides in the know and prices so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
Drink responsibly, B21.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Yes, we are. Let's go to Tim and Everson. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Joe. Great weather.
Beautiful, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, for what it's worth.
There you go.
Quick comment to Mark and then another diversion. Mark, the reason they call him former President Trump is because, unfortunately, in this country, there's a good 30% of Americans that have true hate or despise, and I'm not one of them, for Trump. Okay? Now, I want to shift to the Ukraine war. And a little bit of history here, Joe. My mom's parents were born in 1898. They migrated here in 1918.
Okay.
And my grandpa was from Poland, and my grandma was from Ukraine.
Okay.
So I'm not saying this flippantly. Okay. The Russians built up troops along that border for months and months and months, probably at least 6 months. And nobody, including the United States, stepped in to say, hey, now hold on, settle down, you know, let's talk about this. And I've said early on in your show, just stop it, because there's no win for Ukraine. This is a no-win situation for Ukraine. Period. There were, I mean, years before Crimea got taken away, and nobody said a word. I think we sent them some blankets. Okay, great. We sent them some blankets.
Okay, so what should be done now?
It needs to stop. It needs to stop. You know, there was a truce agreement on the table a year or so ago.
A truce offered by Putin?
Yes. And I think, what's his name over in England when he was still in power, Boris Johnson, in France, and the U.S. stepped in and said no.
I don't know that there was a viable truce that was in play or that was offered, but
it was an agreement on the table, and people stepped in besides Russia and Ukraine. And let's be honest about this. Let's really be honest about this. I appreciate and admire Zelensky's drive, but he's a comedian who is running the country.
Well, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, he's a patriot. I mean, he cares about his country, and he said...
What is a patriot?
Well, I guess anybody can be an effective leader regardless of what their previous occupation was.
You don't throw your civilians under the bus.
You just roll over and let Russia win? I mean, is that what they should do? Just give in to Putin? Whatever he wants, we'll do it just to stop this? I mean, I think it'd be great.
I'm probably a quarter Ukrainian. No,
okay.
I want my people to survive. Let them live. Let's figure out a way to make this work, and let's stop all this killing.
Let them live the way Putin wants them to live. And under
no,
his rule.
I didn't say I that. Mean, once again, Joe,
well,
you put words
well,
in my
I,
mouth.
I don't see an alternative. I mean...
Okay, could I suggest this?
Okay.
You have a couple of territories there, Donetsk being one of them, that was basically Russian people anyway.
There were pro-Russian, forces that were in that area. But, I mean, and they had been, causing trouble, obviously, for some time. But Putin was agitating. He was sending them material and... so he was fomenting that unrest.
There's answers where we could preserve the Ukrainian heritage and people and not let anybody else die. And then the whole world needs to take notice and say, okay, this is what this guy's about, being Putin.
And the rest of the world will kowtow to him. I mean, that's what you're saying.
No, they won't.
It sounds kind of...
See, once again, you love to put words in my mouth.
I'm just saying, you're not the only person I've heard this from. You know, other callers say we need to end it just to end it. But then aren't we giving in to Putin?
Would your answer be let more people die?
I don't want anybody to die. No, I don't.
Let's
but at the same time...
Let's keep firing away at each other.
I don't think it's in our... That we should be telling Ukraine, okay, give it up, roll over to Putin.
It's not easy. It's not easy. I want it to stop.
All right, Tim. Well, I do too. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I don't want this to continue at just without an end. And there is a lot of suffering and horrible stuff happening there. That's absolutely true. But thanks, Tim. I mean, a good conversation, as I said with our earlier caller, Randy, too. That's an important one. Let's go to John in Everson. Hi, John.
Good afternoon. I got a question for you, Joe, and I'll let you answer it.
Well, I'll do my best. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Mr. Donald Trump had a rally this last weekend, and he said something about a bloodbath. How do you interpret that?
Well, I saw different reports about it today that he claimed that he was talking about it, if we allow Chinese auto imports, that it would be a bloodbath for our automakers. That's what he claims that he was referring to. I don't know.
What do you think it is? What do you think it is?
I don't know. I think it's unfortunate that any you know, buddy who's running for president, or let alone someone who's held the office, would use that term, that if they lose an election, there will be a bloodbath. But which is what he said.
Should I help you? Go ahead. Okay, this is what he was saying.
Okay.
He said if he lost the election, if Trump lost the election, it would be a bloodbath for the U.S. Now, your friends back there in CNN, now,
my friends. I don't know anybody at CNN, but go ahead.
Well, they're the same political party as you are, I believe. And they have to be the dumbest people in the world.
Okay.
I mean, they can't interpret what this guy said. He didn't say any of it, that the United States, if he lost, there's going to be you know, what he meant was, it's going to be awful for this country. This is what he meant. Not that he was going to cause a bloodbath or anything like this, but those people cannot interpret a speech. And those are the people at CNN. They have to be dumber than a kindergarten person. They wouldn't understand it, you know. But I just don't understand. I don't understand you Democrats. You can't understand anything.
But it just seems kind of cut and dried with when a candidate for the presidency of the United States says, if I don't win this election, there will be a bloodbath in America. I don't know how you misinterpret that. But anyway,
if you think things are bad now, it's going to get a lot worse because of the imports and all this stuff that goes on. Yeah.
Well,
He's not going to go out there and be a dictator.
I don't know. And, I mean, if he says a bloodbath, it's one thing to say you're going to feel it in your wallet, or you're going to be paying more at the grocery store, or you're going to be paying more for gas. But bloodbath is a whole different, can of worms there.
It might be a different can of worms, but it's the same thing as what you just mentioned. And it's not going to be pretty for this country. This country is totally upside down. You just got done with this woke guy, and these people, I tell you what's going on in the schools and what's going on in the country, and this transgender crap and all this stuff that goes on.
Okay.
It's bad.
I guess I don't see the same scary world out there. I really don't.
Look, you watch the Seattle News at night, and they're killing down there every night. People, I mean,
well, but
there,
big cities have always had. There's always been crime, and there's been murder,
it's coming here, Joe. It's coming here. I got a good wife. Now listen, I got a good wife. I told her, says, I don't think you should even go shopping anymore.
Oh, don't scare her. She's safe.
I said, I'm going to go along with you.
I've got to go with you.
Because I said, I got to protect you. But I says, there's a bunch of weirdos out there walking around and running around and shooting and stealing and everything else. I just never seen anything like this in my 80 years.
Really? Okay. Well,
there are
some ne'er-do-wells out there. That's absolutely true. I don't think she's unsafe, but probably good for you to get out of the house and get away from the TV and go to the store with her.
Oh, I don't. I'm out of the house at 6:30 in the morning, and I don't get back to about 5 o'clock at night. But I don't. I watch TV at night. But I tell you what, Joe, this world is on its ass. That's what it is right now. I tell you, it's tough.
All right, John. Well, we'll do our best to keep it together here. I'm with you. You might think I'm not, but I'm with you. I want to have a safe world to live in and for my kids to grow up in. So,
but you know what? The police department and everything else, I don't blame these guys for quitting. I don't at all. They have to. I mean, I say, good grief, I wouldn't want that job.
Well, it would be a tough job, but I think, you know, if you start, just keep doing it. But anyway, all right.
Well,
I think most of our police officers are not quitting because they don't like. I think they're pretty dedicated and they do put up with a lot of crap.
It's going down. You wait and see. I tell you, I don't blame them either. I mean, I wouldn't do it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it either.
Well, anyway.
All right, John.
I'll tell your friends at CNN that you're a little bit smarter than they are.
Well, they're not my friends. I don't know them. But all right, you take care, John.
Gosh, they're terrible. That's a bunch.
We're going to do okay no matter what. I guarantee
you.
All right. Stay in touch. All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for your call. Quick break. Back with more here on KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464.
What he's saying is we have to do the right things every day to earn happy customers.
Customer service is something you have to work on daily. This is not something you gather up every quarter or 6 months. It requires a lot of intention and energy. Well, the goal is to do that, treat everybody like a millionaire. I hold my employees accountable to a different level, and we still fall short. I fall short. It's hard. It's hard to maintain a really solid, good customer service, but that's something that we have taken on ourselves, and we're not going to change that because if something comes out of our hearts, we enjoy taking care of people, we enjoy doing the right things. In my heart, I feel that you have to do the right things, regardless. If they sound good, don't sound good, they look good, don't look good, you still have to do the right things so you can go to sleep at night and feel like you've done well.
Xavier's Bellingham Nissan. We take care of our customers.
You love what you find at Wilson's.
A sure sign of spring is the arrival of Wilson's Furniture yearly patio furniture shipments, along with the problem of where they're going to put everything. And that means big savings of up to 50% are starting to sprout at Wilson's Furniture. You'll find living room, dining, bedroom furniture all marked down and ready for delivery. Are you ready for the annual college basketball tournament craziness? Catch all the action in a comfy Lane recliner, the best seat in the house, starting at $599. Looking for a better night's sleep? Find it at Wilson's with a top quality queen size mattress for only $699. If your patio furniture was blown into your neighbor's yard during that last windstorm, just leave it there and come check out the huge selection that you'll find only at Wilson's. And come enjoy some crazy early bird pricing. You'll love what you find at Wilson's during their early spring fever sale event going on now. Wilson's Furniture opens 7 days a week on Pacific Highway between Bellingham and Ferndale.
Are you eligible for Medicare soon and feeling overwhelmed by all of the insurance plan information coming your way? Call Guided Solutions, formerly Vibrant USA, at 866-733-5111. Our goal is to make your move to Medicare as seamless as possible. We specialize in the health insurance plans to go with Medicare and can review with you how Medicare works, health plan options available, and how to get enrolled. There is never a fee for our service, and with offices in Linden, Bellingham, Freeland, and Everett, help is just a phone call away.
Whether you're exploring Linden, walking the trails at Whatcom Falls, or grabbing coffee between classes on Western's campus, free local news is now at your fingertips. Go directly to MyBellinghamNow.com or download the new My Bellingham Now app. MyBellinghamNow.com and the new My Bellingham Now app. Hyper-local community and county news. 100% free and no subscription ever. MyBellinghamNow.com or the new My Bellingham Now app. Available from the App Store or Google Play. Stay informed. Stay connected. Stay local. MyBellinghamNow.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects 360-676-5464.
Great to have you with us here on this Monday. A lively conversation so far, and we got some of our regular folks on the line. I'll get right to you. I want to give Dan in Bellingham a chance. Dan, you got some thoughts on the bloodbath comment?
Yeah, I do. The southern border is a bloodbath. That's where rape, murder, and people getting killed, that's considered a bloodbath, and that's what the southern border is right now.
Well, I don't know that a bloodbath is the right way. I mean, there are people that are distressed, and it's not a great place by and large, but I don't know that it's a bloodbath where there's, a bloodbath to me just, that denotes like, the hideous, horrible carnage. And,
that's exactly what it is.
Really?
That's exactly what's happening with all the illegals that come across. Not all of them, but a large percent are people out of prisons, just not good people you'd ever let into the country, and they're committing carnage.
Well, there have been a few immigrants that have committed crimes, that's for certain, and we've had that happen here even in our backyard. But we'll leave it at that, Dan.
Well, I'm just helping in your definition.
Okay,
that's
thanks.
That's a bloodbath down there.
All right, yep. Appreciate it. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Rich in Ferndale. Hey, Rich.
How's it going, Joe?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
The hideous, horrible carnage Trump was referring to, job losses in the auto sector if he loses. And if you had watched 1 or 2 minutes before and after the editing, you would know that. Now, I didn't know this until about 2 hours ago. I happened to watch a few minutes of the 5 at 2 p.m. because it's 5 p.m. over there. They played the clip with more entirety on both sides of the bloodbath comment, and it was very obvious he was talking about the auto industry and China EVs. Now, this is the problem with our out-of-context media. We are completely false narratives when you edit it in such a way to get the look you want. So that's why I trust almost all no news stories. They're all out of context. And until you hear from both sides, you might find a balance. So there's no Trump going to go kill anybody. That's all completely crazy. It's like him saying, Russia, where's Hillary's emails? It was at a campaign rally in front of thousands and thousands of people. It was a joke, but the left decided to not make it a joke because they have an agenda. But anyway, I didn't really want to talk about that. But
okay, what did you want to talk about?
Oh, Ukraine, the first caller.
Okay.
It's a huge problem. We have to admit, now that we're 2 years in, what we have been doing is a failure. It hasn't worked. The death continues. So in admitting that, we must do one of two things. We must amp it up to the point where Ukraine wins, such as putting forces in there, like one of the other callers said, or we must stop everything and just let them lose. Because what we are doing now is useless, fruitless, and pointless, and expensive.
Let Putin win. I mean, because the alternative that you're talking about is that we spark World War III.
Joe, we are letting Putin win right now. That is exactly what we're doing.
We are
expending resources and getting nowhere. So in it to win it, go in there with UN forces led by us and push him out and be done with it. Why do we not have
but
the balls
Putin
to do that?
Putin will respond as though we are.
How do we know that?
Well, you know that. He said it in so many words. He says it over and over again that he would take it as a direct attack on Russia by the United States and by the West, and he would very likely use tactical nuclear weapons. And
Joe, how is it what we're doing helping? Can you tell me how what we're doing is helping?
Ukraine a chance to hold off his forces long enough. The hope would be he would just lose the ability to keep his country involved in that conflict.
I just see it as so foolish for the United States to get involved in something if you're not going to win it. Why would we get into something and do it halfway?
Well, you wanted us to stay in Afghanistan, and we weren't winning there. I mean, be honest here.
Staying in there wasn't causing death, Joe. Staying there would have been better than it is now. That's completely different.
We were consistently losing soldiers. I mean, not at the rate when it in the earlier parts of the war, but yes, we were.
How many people were dying in Afghanistan compared to what's happening in Ukraine right now, Joe? It's like 98%.
Well, anyway, you said we should if you had your druthers,
go in and get it done.
We'd still be in Afghanistan. So I don't know how, and that would be going on 25 years. I don't know how that's somehow better than 2 years sending weapons to Ukraine.
Aren't we still in Korea?
Of course we are, but we're not fighting a hot war there. We're not fighting an adversary.
War in Afghanistan either. Afghanistan was pretty peaceful while we were there.
Oh. Not hardly, but okay, Rich. All right, okay,
difference.
Okay, Rich.
Right.
Okay, I want to get on to some other people. Lou and Lyndon's on the line. Hi, Lou.
Howdy, Joe. Have you heard Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z, on the X or YouTube? He's interviewed extensively about government censorship.
Okay.
He's the go-to expert to understand how government censorship is working in the United States right now.
Okay.
For example, he has chapter and verse about government cutouts. They're responsible for censoring tens of millions of posts prior to the 2020 election. Using algorithms, they would eliminate posts that criticized vaccines, criticized mail-in ballots, criticized the deep state, etc. And so that was a clear and obvious way that the elections were manipulated and influenced by non-governmental institutions, which are really government cutouts, because
say whatever you want, but Twitter, Facebook, these are all private companies that have a right to determine what will be on their platforms. It's not the government telling them what they can and cannot post. But
that's the problem, because government agents pressured X, Facebook, and all the other Instagram.
What was the pressure? To say pressure, what were they pressuring
them
with?
They pressured them by saying they will be regulated. They will be fined if they
I'll go check out Mike Benz can say whatever he wants, and folks can go and check him out. I guess I'll give him a listen and see what kind of proof he's got about this pressure. But thanks, Lou. I want to give Jimmy over on San. Oh, we lost Jimmy. Let's go to Michael. We got about a minute, Michael.
I know we only got a couple minutes, but you know, Joe, Lou and Lyndon make a very, very good point that we've discussed here on the show before.
Yeah.
This is why the case Missouri versus Biden is going to the Supreme Court, because what the Biden administration did is ask Twitter and Facebook and the social media agencies to censor Americans' First Amendment rights to free speech, even though their speech did not violate the terms of Twitter's platform or Facebook's platform. That's what the part you're not understanding. And that's why people that were actually vaccine injured were not even allowed to have a group on Facebook to discuss the fact that they had a negative reaction after the vaccine. Those people were muted and not allowed to speak and tell about their disabilities.
I don't know. People have had plenty of platforms to talk about this.
Going to censor your speech that way.
But if you go to, and I'm out of time, but if you go to YouTube, you find all kinds of videos about this stuff. And we'll continue to debate that and more tomorrow, KGMI Connects, 4 o'clock. Hope you join us.